KFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop? Transformers!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 269. We are live once again. Seem to have figured out the software issues, and I apologize for not having a live episode the last couple weeks. We've been doing a pre-record. We tried to do live, but, as such, the software, what had happened, long story short, I upgraded the operating system on my Mac to High Sierra, which is the latest operating system. Unfortunately, the broadcast software that we use here, Wirecast, is not compatible with High Sierra. And it would allow me to record, but whenever I went to click on stream to broadcast it out live, the whole program would crash. So what I had to do is I had to actually downgrade my computer back to the previous operating system. And now everything seems to be jiving pretty good. So hopefully we will continue to be live for as long as we can. But as such, we are here. And along with me this evening is Jim Black.
What's up?
And Jim, just a little note, kind of speak up because I know your mic is a little big. But, there you go.
Can do.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah.
That's way better. Headmaster Don.
Everybody.
And Rick Alvarez. Opening up a Bud Light. Voila!
I'm pretty sure that was a can of whoop ass.
Steve Weiser.
Yeah, Steve Weiser.
you know, since you're podcasting, that should have been a no duels because you are podcasting.
Well, I got a
Cherry Coke Zero. That is why you're alone, Don. That is why nobody loves you.
No, he does have love.
Well, the cat doesn't count. Cat doesn't know any better.
Cats are love.
Let him wallow in his delusions anyway.
Yeah. But anyway, before we get further along here, I want to... Oh, I love that display. Especially that slapdash in the background. Yeah.
Getaway is my favorite, but I've always liked Slapdash.
Yeah, Getaway is my favorite.
Which one's Getaway again? Do I have that one?
The white car. I don't see it.
I don't have that. That's one of the two headmasters I don't have boxed.
A Power Master.
Power Master.
Yes.
He's the white one. He's actually a villain right now in the IDW comics.
Which I hate. I'm not reading the book, but I know enough to hate that.
I love the books. Prowl's a villain.
You get to be a villain.
And Soundwave's a hero, and Megatron's an Autobot.
Yeah, piss on that.
Next thing you know, that Six Shot's going to start hanging around with Daniel.
And Optimus Prime is going to have he's going to turn purple, his windshield's going to crack, and he's going to be Shattered Glass Prime. Maybe.
Well, I was there for the longest time when Last Stand of the Wreckers 2 came out. Again, I'm not reading the titles. I know I'm a terrible person. And they were hinting at Fortress Maximus. I was thinking, please make Verity Fortress's headmaster. Do that for me, and I will read every book you make from that moment.
Fortress Maximus is Fortress Maximus's headmaster. So what happens is, they go to this world and they find a bunch of dead titans. And they're like, we need to stop Liege Maximo from launching all these titans at Cybertron. So who's the most expendable guy here? Fortress Maximus. Guess what? You're now a headmaster. Combine with that titan over there and take him out.
And he did.
He hurts.
So, well, it's not.
Wait, he's the same size as the other headmasters at that moment. Then, prior to combining with the Titan, but they call him Fortress Maximus.
Mass dispersion. Yeah, Fortress Maximus, because he was the in charge of the Garrus 9, if I remember correctly, prison colony.
Yeah.
So that's why they called him Fortress Maximus, because you couldn't break in or break out of Garrus 9. That's where they kept Overlord, the most dangerous
fixer. Huh. I think I'll stick with my Marvel Headmasters 1-4 origin. I like that better.
That is LeMay. All right. That is LeMay. Thanks to IDW, we have beautiful things like this in the world.
Is that the G-Creation one, I think?
This is the G-Creation's Tyrant, which came yesterday. It is my toy of the year.
Ooh.
When I was at Hasbro, I petitioned to have this figure made, and of course it did get made, but as a simple deluxe, which I didn't want it as a deluxe. I wanted it as a Voyager, and then we were gonna do a running change on it and go from black to gunmetal gray.
That would have been.
I will probably get that if they do it in G2 Dreadwing colors. Like they did on the deluxe.
Rick, are you getting the? Yeah. I think it's the Planet X Pluto, which is the Fall of Cybertron Megatron.
Yes, of course, I am.
That thing looks cool.
I love all the pre-Earth mode stuff, which is why I love Mass Toys so much. Shout out to Mass Toys.
Yeah, they're doing the Seekers next to the Tetrajets.
They're hoping to. Yeah. I fully endorse them.
No, wait. They're calling that figure Pluto.
The line is Pluto.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, I was going to say, remember,
Pluto in this context is the god of war for the Greeks.
Sure. I just didn't
Roman. I think
know for
Roman.
Sure how they were going to sidestep the wrath of Disney.
It's not that Pluto. Anyway, before we
that's
get
why further, no one will ever love you, Jim.
Just trademarks, people.
Before we get too far along, we are sponsored by CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturePrey.com, where you can save even more with free domestic shipping on orders of $150 or more at CapturePrey.com. Shop for yourself or the collector in your family. And if you ship now, most likely you'll get it before Christmas. I know he's shipping out a lot of stuff pretty much every day right now. Check out CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. And if you have the vintage itch, check out Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection while minimizing your cost at MegaToyFan.com. You can find Mega Toy Fan at all the popular robot toy conventions year-round, such as TFCon. Also, if you are in the t-shirt mood, like this one right here, you can go to Ripped Apparel, and anything you order at Ripped Apparel, use the promo code TFYLPPOD, all capital letters, and it will save you 10% on your order at Ripped Apparel. It's a great place to go get great shirts. I've got probably 20 t-shirts from there. Also, there's something else that I want to talk about. I actually received this copy in the mail today, and it is called The Unofficial Guide to Vintage Transformers, written by a virtual nobody named named J.E. Alvarez. Now, who is this J.E. Alvarez?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
He's a guy who is incredibly handsome. Who
and so modest.
Wrote one of the first Transformers books over 20 years ago now. That's how long it's been. I'm showing my age.
Has it been that long?
It's been over 20 years, man.
Oh, my
20 years, 1998.
I remember when that came out. We were like, this is awesome. No one's done this before.
Yeah, that was really before like the internet was like a thing, you know. So this is not a parts guide. You can go to the internet for that, or you can hopefully one day buy Bryce's book. This is a coffee table book. This is a walk down memory lane. This is a book that very well researched, completely new, very different from anything I've done before. It talks about all the Hasbro Transformers. It talks about the European guys. It talks about the Japanese guys. It has a few suggested prices in here for a couple of items, not too many of them. Lots of box and carded examples. Lots of variations in here. And then there's like some crazy stuff like that, where virtually every it shows you all the premium McDonald's figures, all the mini bots from South America. There's a Red Tracks in here. There's the G1 yellow Constructicons in here, not the G2, but the G1. A lot of people don't know about those.
Talks about a lot of Betamax tapes.
You know what? There is one Betamax tape in here, and I forget the guy.
G1 home videos were pretty neat.
Yeah. It's I forget who sent it to me.
Those of us who grew up without cable TV.
Well, we all grew up without cable TV because they didn't have cable TV. Here it is. Can you see it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it says FHE also released several episodes on Betamax. Pictured here is the Betamax tape with the Betamax box, and it says courtesy of Jim Black. So Jim, you made the book.
Because I've got most of the family home VHS ones that I got when our local Action Video was closing down. I picked them up for dirt cheap, but I did not know they made it to Betamax.
Yeah, Jim found me a Betamax tape, and as soon as he sent it to me, I found two or three more sealed. Which who keeps a sealed Betamax tape?
Right.
You know, it's got things like the Transformers 45 record case holder. Right. Why would they make that? You know, it's got the Transformers sunglasses. It goes all the way through 1999. Talks about Machine Wars. Talks about Beast Wars.
So does it stop at Beast Machines then?
It stops right at the end of Beast Wars, because there was a few Beast Wars figures. I think there were some Fox Kids leftovers that got released in 2000.
Yeah,
there was also Tripredicus Agent, if I remember right. That was 2000, wasn't it?
No, that was not. You were wrong. It's got all sorts of crazy things in here, like Guard City. You know how often you see like a Guard City? For those of you who don't know who Guard City is, that's a repaint of the Protectobots that came out in Japan in the late, early 1990s, which is very hard to find.
Which I am still extremely PO'd. We have not seen it or Battle Gaia in the Combiner Wars repaints yet.
And then it's got some other crazy things in here, like the Transformers cereal box, the Transformers power cycle featuring G1 Trailbreaker, and the Transformers sand pail, not the Optimus bucket, but the actual sand pail.
Rick, let me ask you a question. Do you address the Phantom Hot Rod Power Wheel?
To my knowledge, it was never made.
So,
and if it was made, it was a repurposed car power wheel from another brand that had stickers slapped on it.
Okay, Because for years I've heard, you know, for last 20, 30 years since I'm old, you hear about the Hot Rod Power Wheel, mm-hmm. the Wonder Bread He-Man, the Cookie Crisp Jazz. You hear about all this stuff.
There's pictures of all that stuff except the Hot Wheels.
Oh.
So I tried looking into it when I was at Hasbro. To my knowledge, none was ever made. And if there was one made, they just took generic car, put stickers on it. I doubt they would have made a mold for just three. I think the sweepstakes was for, you know, win one of three Power Wheels Hot Rod. So I don't think it was ever made. But there's, you know, other stuff that wasn't made, like the G2 GoBots. There's a bunch of that stuff in here. So Duran helped with the book. He did most of the photography. He actually photographed the cover.
That was the most fun.
Looks amazing. And him and Orson Christensen of Captain Prey was kind enough to donate. Christian. It's because of Ken Christensen, I say that.
He's the son of Orson Christian.
Yes. They were nice enough to donate their time. So this book is as much them as it is mine. I believe it's shipping from Amazon starting next week.
Yes.
And there's a bunch of guys out there who have already gotten some copies for reviews. I think someone on TFYLP is getting one for review. What's his name? G2 guy. Why can't I think of his name?
Plasticon. Yes.
Jason.
Well, you know, next up you need to do a Visionaries book. It'll be like a third of the thickness and like 30 pages and you'll be done.
But it'd be like a comic book.
No. Well, so the way I got to this was, so the first book came out when I was in high school, right? And the way I got into it was I had helped my friend John Marshall with a book on general 80s toys. And the book didn't sell that well, but they got a lot of feedback about the Transformers. Now, remember, this is like 1996, 1997, before like eBay was like a real big thing. It existed, but it was very small. Before, like, I think the most popular Transformers website in the world at that time was BWTF.com. Mm-hmm. So
still going strong.
A lot of good,
yeah.
They got a lot of good feedback on the Transformers section, and they asked if I would write a book on Transformers. And while trying to juggle high school, I managed to put together that first book. So this is completely far, you know. This is 20 years of experience now, having worked in the industry and having written a whole bunch of other stuff that led to that book. So it's a completely new book. Lots of cool stuff in it. It's $29.99. It's in color, high gloss. And if you look in the acknowledgments, it's got a beautiful TFYLP logo in there. And,
yes.
Thank you, Duran, for
thank you for the opportunity. It was a lot of fun to do. A lot of work. I don't think I'd ever sat down and taken that many photographs at one time in my life.
So before we get into the show, you know, to wrap up this conversation, I didn't really want to do the book. I passed it off to Trent Troop and Greg Sepulak, and for whatever reason, it fell through with them. And then my publisher came back to me and they said, "Listen, we're going to do a third edition of your first book, whether you're involved or not." And I said, no, you can't. If I write another book, can I do it from scratch? And I said, yes. And I was still hesitant about it. And then I saw Duran was taking a lot of pictures. And I thought, you know what? Maybe that's the guy who needs to do the book. And it's because of Duran that I decided to go ahead and pull the trigger on it if I could have his photography in it. So it's all his fault.
I'm sorry I made you money.
Yeah, I think I get I've written so many different books now. I think I get like 35 cents a book now. So cheers. You don't write nonfiction to make money.
But anyway, check it out. We got in the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. I have a little thread going on about this book, and there is a link in that thread to Amazon, so you can pre-order your book. I believe it starts shipping on, what, the 28th? or before? No, you receive it before the 28th is what it is.
Yeah, I think they start shipping next week, so they're not guaranteeing before Christmas, but I think it'll probably get to a few people who order now before Christmas.
Which would be awesome. Yeah, check it out. It's on our Facebook group. It's also, I'm going to share it across a lot of places. I'll eventually, as soon as I get a chance, put it up on the main website.
Here's who you have to buy this book for. If you're a parent, if you're an uncle, an aunt, and you're into Transformers, and you got a nephew, a kid, maybe your neighbor's kid, whatever, and they're into these toys, you know, the internet just bombards you with all different sites and opinions about the brand. This is a non-biased look at these toys throughout the last, through the first 20 years of the brand. So if you want to give them something that they can learn from and study and help them understand so that they can go and make their own opinions about the brand and show them where these characters came first and some beautiful photography, this is the book. Buy them that book. Yes. Buy my book.
It's also good for new collectors as well. If you're not familiar with a lot of, let's face it, Generation 1 had a lot of toys in it. And if, especially whenever you get into the MicroMasters and everything, it's kind of hard to keep it handy, you know, which ones are which. And without having to go to your phone and look it up. And it's also, like you said, a good coffee table book. You know, you can put it on your coffee table and, you know, friends, family, you know, visitors can see it. And, you know, you talk about something and or your favorite figure. And you can actually look it up and point to it. You know, there it is. It's a real cool book, and it was a lot of fun to help do. So go get one. They're available now. So let's get on to tonight's topic. Jim Black suggested this, and we're going to tie it in a little bit with a add-on topic that Lunar Fury from Twitter had suggested. Let me find it on here again. I had it handy. He suggested that we talk about, why is my internet so slow tonight? Boom, boom, boom. He suggested that we talk about, you know, why do you sell your figures?
The thrill of the hunt.
Well,
yeah.
So, well, that's going to be a subject. Yeah. Why do you purge?
Why do you purge?
Yes. I'm trying to find the actual tweet here so I can read it. I have it linked.
So basically, it's while you're looking for it, let me explain it. Some people amass a collection, like say they get every single MicroMaster, and then they have it, and they sell it off. And they start over, and then maybe they get the Action Masters, or they get to a point in their collection where, you know what, I'm not into RID or Prime anymore. I'm just going to sell all that stuff. I'm going to sell all my Beast Wars stuff and buy Masterpiece. Or I'm going to sell all my Masterpiece because there's getting too many of them, too expensive, and I'd rather focus on MicroMasters.
Yeah.
Why do we purge?
Yeah, his actual tweet here a couple days ago, I'm curious about the method of selling collections to buy new ones. Basically, what is the mindset other than when upgrading to a better mold? We're going to tie that in after we talk about the initial topic, which I'm going to blame it on Jim because it's a sucky topic. You know, it's Jim has nothing but sucky ideas. So we'll just...
You went with it, though. It was your call. That's on you.
Hey, I'm trying to throw you under the bus here. Let me throw you under the bus.
I'm taking you with me.
Wouldn't be the first time. But whenever you're shopping for Transformers, let's be honest. I know we've talked about this before, but shopping for Transformers now is nowhere near what it was, say, 15, 20 years ago. 15, 20 years ago, there was a whole lot of mystery as to what was coming out. The internet was still young. Information as to what was coming out was still, a lot of it was kind of behind closed doors, or if you didn't see it in a catalog, you didn't know what was coming until you either saw it in a catalog or saw it in store. Nowadays, we know months, sometimes even years before an actual figure come out. For example, Titan Returns Trypticon, it was the fan vote over a year ago. Well, it might have been almost 2 years ago, wasn't it? Has it been that long?
I'm sorry, I'm not even paying attention. What are we talking about?
I remember there first we saw Trypticon's leg.
So. Yeah. Well, it's been quite a long time that we knew Trypticon was coming. Right. And so we can prepare for it, especially a large purchase such as Trypticon. He runs about $150. And then you get into the third party realm and a lot of things. And I'm looking at Terminus Giganticus here, which runs $300 plus. And we knew about that, because Fans Toys sometimes takes a couple years or more just to get some of their things out. We knew that was coming, planned for it. So planning for things makes it different, but obtaining things is different too. Jim, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, as far as planning, really just it's more is what you see in the news and deciding, will I be able to afford this? Is this a figure that really appeals to me, or am I going to get it just to be a completist? I mean, there's all kinds of reasons, but planning and implementation are not always something that go hand in hand. My own experience, there's been a good number of figures that I've planned on getting. I've had in my sights. I said, I'm going to get this. Years later, still haven't seen one in hand. I think of Combiner Wars Skylings, for example.
Well, there is a big reason for that, too. Let's talk a little bit about that. The retail versus online retail. I think that's the main crux of what we're getting at. Is that not what you were getting at whenever you proposed this topic?
Pretty much.
So,
well, can we preface this with, and Don and I could speak to this because we're the older gentlemen. I mean, I'm not as old as Don, but
I'm older than you are.
No, but you're also not as good looking either. So that's the curse you have to bear.
Well, you're right. On Bizarro World, I'm not as good looking, but here's the thing. When Don and I were little girls, we would go to the store and we would look at the shelf and be like, oh my God, it's Blaster. I didn't know they made Blaster. Wow, when did they make Blaster? That is awesome. There's a Blaster toy. I want it. Now it's, hey, I know what's coming out next year. It's a very different feeling.
It's also sort of like the early BotCons versus the later Fun Pub, and the fact that when John and Carl first started, we knew we were getting the size, class, and a price range. And you could guess from the molds over the past year or two what it could be, but you still didn't know what you were getting. So it was a surprise. So you walk into the store, and you see, again, if you go online and look at pictures of old Transformer displays, you would see 60-foot spaces of just Transformers. And imagine your local Toys R Us, and half of a row of any given row be Transformers. That's the way it used to be.
Depending on the size of the store, sometimes the entire side of an aisle was Transformers.
I can remember my Kmart was like that when I was a kid.
Imagine going into Toys R Us and seeing Rick's display by on the shelf. That's what you had to choose from.
Rick's
all the stuff. And then you got the catalog. You saw what else, with all the cross sales off the packages. And it was just, it was, if you're a younger fan, and by younger, I mean in like 50, 20 years or younger, you don't know what it was like to walk in and see that much stuff. And it wasn't just Toys R Us. It wasn't, again, when I was growing up, Rick, it may be a different chain for you. It was Roses for me, or Kmart, back in those days before Walmart became.
It was Kmart.
Kmart
and Kitty City.
Service. I used to work for Service Merchandise. So we had the merchandise. We had that. But you could also go to Eckerd's, which was a drugstore mm-hmm. chain. You could. I
bought almost all my Throttlebots at Eckerd.
Yeah, you could go to like local chains. Like we had a place called Gibson's, and then that became a Sky City. And I'm talking like in the mid 80s, and I looked 6 months for a strafe to complete my Technobots, and I finally found one at Sky City for $6 that I picked up. So I mean, it's nothing today like it was then.
You know, we've talked about this before on previous episodes. You know what it was like back in the day, and I don't really want to dwell too much.
I'm sorry.
On it. No, it's fine. It's good to go back and recap it a little bit, but I don't want to dwell on it too much because that is something that we've talked about a lot. But what we haven't talked a lot about is how collectors obtain their stuff now versus say 15. Not just 30 years ago. I mean, 30 years ago, it was like going to the store and buy it or order it from the Sears catalog, and that was it, you know. you know, I can honestly say I don't think my mom or dad ever actually ordered me anything from the Sears catalog, even though I used it a lot to sit there and just drool. Like, I would sit and look at Fortress Maximus and Scorponok for hours on end, wishing, you know, I'm like, I would never own this toy because I knew it was just outside of a price range that my parents would be willing to spend. I mean, hell, my dad crapped a brick whenever he bought me Metroplex, and it rang up for like, I'm wanting to say, was it 40 bucks, 50 bucks back in the day? You know, that was just outrageous for a toy. And he just like, I don't ask for anything like that again. So I knew Fortress Maximus was like out of the question.
Did you ask for it anyway?
Oh yeah, but did I get it? No, not till I was an adult, and I had my own disposable income, and that is a big part of collectors today. Is we buy things now that our parents would never have bought us, and we've got the freedom now to. You know, and that's one of the allures of being a collector is like whenever I got back into collecting back in 99-ish, you know, I found my original collection, was looking through it, you know, got re-enamored with the toy line, and I realized, hey, I can go track down the toys that I never got that I always wanted. You know, and that was in the day whenever the internet was starting to really take off, right before broadband became really commonplace. You know, I know my first few Transformers that I ordered from BBTS, I did it via dial-up. So, you know, that tells you how long ago that was. But, you know, nowadays, you know, there's a lot of the toys that I get. I don't even go into a brick and mortar store. A lot of the toys that I leave personally for brick and mortar purchases are the toys that I am on the fence about. And if I go into a brick and mortar store and happen to see it, I can see it in person, hold it, look at it, and decide at that point, do I want this toy? And then I can buy it. I know Titan Return Sky Shadow was one of those. I knew I was getting Overlord, but I wasn't quite sure that I wanted Sky Shadow. And it actually tipped it over the edge whenever I found it in a brick and mortar store, and it happened to be on clearance. You know, that was, I'm wanting to say it was like $28.99 or something other. It was like deep clearance. So I got it on the cheap. And so there are some toys that I leave for that. But most of my toys I get online, like, you know, Captured Prey. I've got pretty much the entire first wave of Power of the Primes pre-ordered from Captured Prey. So I don't even have to go get it. I just wait for it to come in.
Now, you see, for me, I like to get, you know, all my third-party stuff. There's not really a collectible toy store around here in my neck of the woods. For those who don't know, I live on the Forest Moon of Endor, Massachusetts. So I have a lot of deer and a lot of turkeys, ticks living outside my house. No toys. So stuff like this, I got to order online, which is fine. And even some figures that I can't find in stores. What I've noticed lately in the last couple of weeks, the thrill of the hunt of looking for that last wave of Titans Returns before we begin Power of the Primes, and even searching for Power of the Primes, turns from excitement to incredible frustration.
Frustration. Mm-hmm.
Because I see all these other people posting pictures online, and I'm the asshole who's still hoping to find a Misfire in the store, right? Now, I never saw that last wave. A lot of people say, well, we never saw this wave or that wave or this wave, but other parts of the country get it. You know, it's poor distribution on parts of the vendors, but also, you know, knowing when to get there. For me, I make sure I know the delivery dates of all the stores around me, Toys R Us, Target, Walmart. I mean, I know when trucks are coming, and I know to check on those days. I know usually what time of day those stuff gets worked out. But it has become very frustrating going from Target to Target to Target to Target, looking for Power of the Prime stuff and seeing an empty end cap and knowing they were there, I just wasn't quick enough to get them. And it's basically I've, out of frustration, turned to the internet and got my Titans Return Overlord from them. And I'm incredibly frustrated now going store to store trying to find these Power of the Prime figures.
Yeah, I mean, I happen to look out, you know, I know Captured Prey, Orson, he was actually at a local Target one night. I was at work, and he sent me a picture. He's like, hey, they've got a few Power of the Prime figures in stock here. Do you want me to pick you some up? And I got Slug and Dreadwind, and that way, even though I'd already pre-ordered them from him, basically it's just like getting them early. I just paid him through the store. That way, my pre-order was already covered. But you know, I find that just a stroke of luck, really. Since then, I have not seen. I've been in the same store he bought them in. They've got old stock, you know, a lot of later wave Titan Returns, the Walmarts in the area. I know the one right next door to that Target is like almost bare for Transformers. About the only Transformers on the shelf there are the RID figures that, you know, seem to be shelf warming a lot lately. But there isn't a whole lot of stuff. I just the worry and the thrill of the hunt has changed. I remember, let's back up to when, what was it? Armada was out. Armada Jetfire. That was a figure that I was really, really anticipating. And, I kept watching the boards, as on TFW, and somebody had posted, I was living in Richmond, Kentucky at the time, and somebody had posted that it was in Lexington at one of the Targets. So I happened to be off that day, and I was excited. It was really, I made a special trip to Lexington, which was 25, 30 minutes away for me, to get Armada Jetfire. And that was a lot of fun. Just the trip up there, the anticipation of going into the store and finding it, getting it, and then coming home and releasing it from its cardboard prison and just sitting and playing with it. And then there's the 1 and 2 a.m. trek that I drove almost 100 miles away just to get Armada Unicron whenever it came out at, 1 o'clock in the morning. I packed my wife in the car and we went 100 miles away just to buy this freaking toy. But I wouldn't trade that experience for anything. Would I do that today? No. I don't care how bad I want the figure. I'm not going to drive 80, 90 miles away just to buy a toy. If I can't get it reasonably online or just happen to walk in and get it, I'm just not getting it. Is it different? Don, you haven't talked a whole lot.
Well, I guess for me, it's just, it's weird because I live in a section, I live close to a lot of major cities, but I'm not in a major city. But I've had really good luck finding stuff locally. But Rick, when I was at my local Walmart last time, they had the Slugslinger wave. There's 3 Slugslingers on the shelf, but I never saw Misfire's wave anywhere. The distribution.
Same thing happened to me.
Yeah. The distribution is taking a lot of the fun out of it. But now, see, I collect several different lines, just not the full lines, just bits and pieces. It's like I finally found an Usagi Yojimbo from the 2012 Nick Turtles. I don't collect all the turtles, but that's a great looking figure, so I picked it up. And that's one reason I still do. I still like going to brick and mortar stores, not just looking for the Transformers, but looking for things that I might like. Like I picked up the Marvel Legends Toy Biz Classics Iron Man because I love that classic red and gold suit, and I wasn't expecting to find one. There was one on the shelf, and I was like, well, I'll get this. This is here. I'm here. I still like the thrill of the hunt, but yeah, it does get really frustrating when you walk in trying to find Crosshairs from Wave 3 of the movie stuff, and all you see is drift or Squeaks or even worse, Wave 1 that's still clogging the shelves everywhere, and the infinite amounts at all the local stores. Some things I'll buy online because it's like I bought my Slugslinger online because I saw a good price with free shipping, and I thought, I'm not going to hunt for this one figure since the rest of the wave is going to be repacks, and I went ahead and got it. But I guess it boils down to kind of Dononomics for me is if you go to a store, you've got a better chance of either finding it on sale, maybe finding something you could sell to help offset the cost of what you're getting, finding something that you weren't expecting versus going through, like, if you go to your average website and you look at all the stuff you like, it'll take you forever going through this website finding stuff. And then if it's multiple websites you're looking at, you got to see what the shipping is going to be, how long it'll take. It's just there's no fun in shopping online.
It does suck a lot of relief. Yeah.
It does give you a sense of if it's a piece you've been trying to find and you can't find it and you find it online, that's one thing. But if it's just the pieces that are more common, again, air quotes on that, it's no fun. It's no fun just go click, buy, and have it sent.
Well, I like what Lotus Stark said here in the YouTube live chat. I quit buying retail figures last year, but when I saw Beachcomber at Target, it sucked me back in. The feeling of finding a figure in person is very emotional. And we all identify with that. Every one of us as collectors identify with that.
It's a junkie getting a fix to a similar but not as serious degree. And I don't mean light of the parallel I'm calling on. I'm just saying
it is a worthy analogy though.
But it's like because you found something you want. It's like a treasure hunt. Which is why Hot Wheels things are.
How many of us can identify with the feeling of going into a store and you walk around the aisle, you know, you walk around the corner onto the aisle that you know where the Transformers are, and you make eye contact immediately, and you're still 15, 20 feet away. You make eye contact with the shelf space, and right there on the front, you can see the figure that you're looking for. And that your pace quickens, and you get over there, snatch it up, and you've got that yes feeling.
Exactly. We all experience that. Different cards to see if there's one in the back on the back peg
that might have a better
underneath on the floor or up top. Mm-hmm.
Or even better, you go to this store and you know what's been there. You know how the stuff's on the pegs and on the thing. And you turn the corner and you see something's been stocked. The section doesn't look like it's looked for the past 6 weeks. And something has been put out. You don't know what, but it looks different.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk up and then you find, you know, what's
that
new.
Is just last wave.
that
deflated feeling.
yeah. So, but I'll be honest, it's just buying a third party. You kind of got to buy online. Like Rick says, there's a really great comic book store in Greensboro, North Carolina called Atme Comics. I've mentioned them before here and on RFC, and they carry a lot of vintage. They have people bringing their collections in, and they have some third party, but they don't have enough third party that really interests me, because I've usually either already got them or stuff that I'm not interested in.
Or
but
if
they
you
got
live in like the Louisville area, there's a comic shop here in town, the Zone Comics off of Hubbard's Lane in Louisville. It's a moon base for Captured Prey. Carries fresh, new third-party products in there. You can actually go in and purchase a third-party product in a brick-and-mortar store there.
Which is unique for, I think, in your situation. I like buying online, especially like if it's third party, you kind of got to. But it's just brick and mortar. I like the thrill of the hunt. But that's me growing up before the internet, going to flea markets, rummaging through boxes, finding these Transformers that make up most of my collection. Most of my stuff is secondhand originally, because I got them from yard sales. I got G1 Trypticon for $23 at a flea market.
Oh, you beat me by like $8.
Yeah.
I got mine for $30.
I guess I'm so used to the hunt and the thrill. I guess I still need my fix, even if it's not as major as it used to be, because there's not as much. And this looks like I'm bragging, but I'm not. I got a bunch of stuff. There's not a lot of stuff I don't have that I won't. That's not a holy grail, like a Minerva, a Guard City, a Battle Gaia, stuff that will cost me a lot of money.
Jim, I remember back when eBay was starting, I got my complete, all six boxes of Dino King sealed, $400.
Hate you.
I think that was...
try doing that now.
Boy, I think that was like 2000. And I remember getting a sealed Japanese Overlord, $300.
Well, I can't complain. I got Darkfire Convoy for $600 shipped in the box, which is the only lucky draw I've ever wanted, and I actually found it for $600.
And then TFYLP devolved into a penis contest.
You know, sorry. Hearing all you guys go on and on about your various grails, and then, I reminded of Don's comment just a few minutes ago about getting a fix, and it brought to mind a term that's been used pretty commonly in the fandom is plasticrack.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, somewhere there's a board and someone is signing on with the name plasticrack.
Yeah. You know, and I've made the joke that outside your average toy convention, there's going to be a guy in a trench coat.
Plasticrack. That sounds like a porn actress who's got a lot of surgery done or something other.
Yeah. but this guy's got like the huge, like the Ninja Turtle style big old trench coat that they wear in the movies. He opens it up. Hey man, come here.
I have no knowledge of such things.
Well, 12 back Star Wars cards, C-3PO, mint and box Optimus Prime. You want it, man? You want it? You know, he's selling plastic crack. Basically, that's what he's doing. And I've always had that picture. That's what's going to devolve into is the stuff we can't find will be some guy out with a trench coat selling it out of his coat in the back alley somewhere.
Well, you know, the thing is like the thrill of the hunt, and that is the crux of what we're talking about here. The thrill of the hunt, is it gone, or is it just transmutated into something else?
Transmutated. It's there, but
it was more innocent.
It was more innocent, and it was a lot less frustrating because of the amount of product.
Yeah,
I guess, Rick, you could probably back me up or dispel this.
Since there's so much more product that you can walk into any Woolworths or Sears or Service Merchandise, Toys R Us, and you could find a blaster, you can find a Terradrome. And I remember 1991, I moved back to the United States, and I walked into a Kitty City, which was a chain in the southern area, and they had one in Florida. And it was 1991. They had a whole bunch of Action Masters. They had Headmasters. They had a Cobra Terradrome. They had Dino Riders.
Ooh.
And it was all on clearance. All I wanted was a Nintendo.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Back then, if we couldn't find it in stores, we knew eventually K&K / KB would eventually get them. Yep. So we had a backup plan.
And but there also weren't as many exclusives. Now, for Transformers, we didn't really have any Sears exclusives. But for G.I. Joe, I mean, there's a ton of Sears catalog exclusives, which are insanely priced. A lot of them I don't have.
Well, this year's SDCC, the Cobra Missile thing, was a throwback to the Sears exclusive. They basically recreated the Sears exclusive for that Cobra Missile thingy.
Well, let me ask you this. The thrill of the hunt, how has it changed whenever now, you know, it used to be brick and mortar, going in and seeing something in a store and you got excited about it and you was excited to actually do it. You know, you was excited on the way to the store. You know, you didn't know for sure that it was going to be there. You just had either on good authority or you just had a hunch that it was going to be there. And you got there and there it was. You were excited. How has that changed or how has that carried over to the online shopping experience? Now,
it's become more competitive.
Exactly, because you're not just fighting your local collectors. Like, I have a couple of friends that are Hot Wheels collectors, and they're all searching for the same cars on the same peg hooks at all the stores because that's all they have is that, you know, the single carded figures and playsets and stuff. But so they're all fighting each other. But if you go online to get something, you're fighting everybody else. Doesn't matter if they're local, if they're across the street, if they're across the planet. You're fighting everybody for that Misfire or that Slug Slinger, or if that Amazon marks down that Triptychon to $89.
Night Sword had a good point. The thrill is now finding which shop has the cheapest pre-orders. Is that really what it is now? I mean, I know a lot of it is like finding something before it sells out. You know, can I get my pre-order in before it sells out? Can I find it in stock somewhere? And when you find it in stock, you're like, oh, they got it. And then there's the, oh, they charge a lot in shipping or they're a little bit more expensive. Do I want to buy it here? You know,
exactly. Well, I've got an example. It's not Transformers, but it's Brave. So it is related. 2 years ago, Solichigok and Gal Gaigar. If you know me and Brave, I've talked about Gal Gaigar before. It was the Gurren Lagann of its era. It was wild. It was crazy. It was awesome.
Check out our Brave episodes. They're here
exactly.
On YouTube.
Yeah. I was up Japanese time. Our time was 3 a.m. That's when the pre-order went up for the Solichigok and Gal Gaigar. I was up at 2:50 our time. Had to be at work at 4. I was up. I was there. 2:59 our time. I refreshed the page. It went from not in stock to sold out in the span of a one-page refresh. And I was not on dial-up anymore. I was on regular internet at that time. So
tell me this. Did you get it?
No. I mean, I eventually did, but they had the best price. And this was before the big EMS, the big shipping jump, you know, that Japan had a couple last year. So I wound up paying about $40 more domestically because in the span of one page fresh, they whatever stock they had, they sold out. And that's what I was saying. You're fighting everybody on the planet who's looking
well,
for this.
Well, the latest incarnation of this, and Night Sword brought it up, I was actually going to bring it up myself, the thrill of being near a computer when Hasbro Toy Shop throws up a random, unannounced toy in stock. Titan Returns Grotusque was the most recent one of those, and RC from ToysRUs.com. You know, me, the way my work schedule is, I'm usually asleep a big part of the daylight hours. And a lot of times things are not, you know, they'll go live like early in the morning, middle of the day. Like Titan Returns Grotusque, he went live, I think, you know, kind of mid-morning whenever he went live.
Diecast tweeted it out, and I would have known if I hadn't been on lunch at the time.
I got to credit Ben Yee of BWTF, as Rick mentioned earlier. I saw him mention it, and I think one of our listeners had posted about it, Jason Rye, I believe, in the Facebook group. They posted around the same time. And I know it's gross, but I happened to be up. I was using the bathroom. And I happened to see this. I'm like, ooh, order, order, you know. And the thing sold out within a couple of hours. And so often I have missed out on things. I missed out on the Hasbro or the Hascon exclusive RC with the exclusive packaging. I missed out on it because I was in bed asleep whenever it went live.
I thought that was the same package.
Duran, you might know this, but I'm sure that Don does. You remember back when, like, the San Diego Comic-Con exclusives was going up online, the Black Alternator Optimus Prime is going to be available.
Oh, my God. Don't. Don't. Oh, God.
I think Hasbro put, like, everybody knew about the Black Alternator's Optimus Prime and the release date, and I think Hasbro only put 50 up on the site. And it was the biggest, huge debacle. It was the worst thing to happen in the world of transfer ever at that point.
I mean, it was an absolute god-awful nightmare. You're making an exclusive available, and your website cannot handle the traffic. That's why I think Hasbro...
Maddie Collector!
You know, I think that's why Hasbro is not announcing these things as a releases, because they know their website cannot... HTS cannot handle the traffic. So this way it's a lot more sporadic, and it's not a server problem. That's my guess. I have no inside knowledge. It's just like... That seems to fit what's going on, but it's...
And the thing is with me now, it's like either catching it whenever it goes live and hoping that it doesn't sell out before you catch it. You know, I don't know how many times I've seen some. This such and such is live now, and go get yours now. And I'll go, and this is not even 2 hours later, and sold out. You know, sorry about your luck. You know, I don't know how many times that's happened to me. I was so elated whenever I got Grotusque. I mean, my confirmation, my order confirmation come in. I was physically happy. You know, I was jumping for joy in my apartment at the time. I'm like, hey, I actually got something before it sold out.
Well, you mentioned in jest Maddie Collector, but I think that's a prime example, no pun intended, of where you are going to the more frustrating end of collecting. And
that's a more niche market.
Yeah, it is, but it's still what we could eventually go to. And it's trying to go there and buy anything on Maddie Collector sell days, whether it was He-Man, Thundercats, or whatever they had up at the time, you know. And you kept getting blue screens of death. things would freeze. Some people would get order confirmation. Some people would get canceled. Some people would get credit cards rejected.
So FunPub BotCon registration online.
No, there was no $7 service charge fee for that. But that's what I don't want. If online purchasing is going to be the best way to get this stuff, I don't want it to be that extreme, because that takes whatever fun you had. I mean, the only thing I'd bought from them before was a couple of minor pieces. The last thing I bought from Maddie Collector was the New Adventures He-Man, the one they redid a few years ago. And that was still an absolute nightmare to go on and try to buy one figure.
Yeah,
I don't want that to be what Transformer fans have to face. But the flip side of that,
Don, is you know that a few weeks later you could have gone to another store like Big Bad Toy Store and bought it, but it would have been $20 more.
Yeah,
it's frustrating knowing that you can get it and pay more and not get it at the time of release, but at least you know you can go out.
But another thing that's a problem is, with there being so much product now, especially if you collect multiple lines, is your budgeting. Because literally you have to say, mm-hmm. I can save $20 now if I'm willing to wait and get it. Or it's juggling. It's now comes down to basically, do you want it now versus then?
So let me talk on that point. From the start of Beast Wars all the way up to Transformers Prime, I collected everything. Every licensed good I made, every figure, two of every figure, one to open, one to keep sealed. I collected everything. Shampoo bottles. I still get stuff like that. Look, shampoo stuff, lunch boxes, balloons, underwear, everything.
Transformers.
Right? Duct tape.
I've got rolls.
And then it got to a point, once R.I.D. came out and I saw the direction the line was going in with Rescue Heroes and R.I.D., that I decided that this is not the part of the brand that I love. I'm tired of this stuff. And I'm really tired of stuff that doesn't transform, and I'm tired of buying movie merchandise. There's so much movie merchandise. The only reason I bought this was because it's a holiday item. You can only get it during the holidays, which is the bathroom set. It's got mouthwash and a toothbrush in it. You know, I gave that stuff a pass because it's more limited. But, you know, I look around and I see the Doritos bags and the pizza boxes, and I'm like, who the hell is going to want a 2009 empty Papa John's Transformers box 25 years from now?
Rick, I've still got flattened out boxes from the Lunchables from the first movie.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Those little flip open mealies?
Yeah. You don't know how many Lunchables I ate to get the whole set. I got every Lunchable variation box, mm-hmm. and I think I have almost two sets and multiple extras of all the guys, of all the little figures that came in it. The
Transformers Energon Kite.
The Energon Kites, the Pinatas. I decided that I needed to have a narrow focus of what I wanted to collect, the stuff that I enjoyed the most. So I kept it to Generations. I kept it to Masterpiece. I kept it to third party Generations and Masterpiece. And, I kind of cut everything else out. Even the Legend stuff, I just kind of cut that out. And there's so much Transformer stuff, but on top of that, no, I still collect Joes. I still collect He-Man. I still collect Aliens from Predator and Legos. And then on top of all that, there's all the vintage stuff I still collect, right? I collect everything from the 80s, vintage, you name it. I think there's like two lines I don't have from the 80s. I don't have anything Wheeled Warriors yet. And I don't have anything Crystar.
About Food Fighters or Police Academy?
No, I'm not into those. I'm not into those. Yeah.
Oh.
Not into those.
You know, I think the thing is like there is some thrill of the hunt still in even today's world with the online shopping and everything. But I think the difference is, and the main difference is, back in the day, and I'm saying like 15, 20 years plus, the thrill of the hunt was, like I said earlier, going into the store, finding that one or two figures or more that you were looking for and being excited for it. And they were typically the mundane releases. You know, it's like, oh, well, you know, like Rick's looking for a Misfire, Titan Returns Misfire. You know, it's just a general release toy. It's not an exclusive. Might be a little short pack, but it's not an exclusive. You know, there is a chance that he could go into virtually any retail store that carries a deluxe Generations Transformers and find a Misfire. So there is that thrill of that hunt. Whereas today, the thrill of the hunt more lies in stuff like what we alluded to earlier with Hasbro Toy Shop, you know, unannounced in stock, or, you know, ToysRUs.com now has RC back in stock. Go get yours now before they sell out again. That's exciting. But they're more or less limited and more exclusive, you know, online store only type stuff. And the mundane, which we used to find exciting, is now kind of boring. You know, it's just, oh, well, I'm just going to pre-order this and not worry about it. You know, whenever it comes in, I just pick it up. I'm done. You know, so I think it's changed in the fact that we are more excited about the exclusives and the ability and timing to get it now, as opposed to I'm excited just to find this mundane regular item.
And I think something that adds to frustration is all the stuff that, as I said earlier, all the posts from other people getting it. You know, the retailers who are also fans, and they're consumers, so they open it up and they take pictures of it. And, you know, that's before they ship anything out to anyone. And, you know, that's frustrating. And then all the pictures coming from Asia of people who have these products. That's frustrating.
Like a month before we can even get them, yeah.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. I'll give you an insider. So my first day working at Hasbro, guy comes over, he's like, "Hey, Rick, check this out." And he shows me the movie leader Starscream figure. And he's got, you know, it's the image on the computer screen, so he didn't actually have the figure. And he shows me the turns, and he showed me, I'm like, "Oh my God, that's perfect. That looks beautiful." And it was a really good figure, in my opinion. I'm like, "Awesome. When does that come out?" "What's today?" "Monday? About 13 months.
Knowing it's coming out 13 months from now.
Yeah. And knowing that I couldn't tell anyone about it sucked.
Yeah, and I think that's something else as well is – no, disregarding the illegal leaks, because that's its own thing we've talked about before. There's no surprises other than, for example, we didn't know about Ultra Magnus for Combiner Wars. That came out of the blue. There's been a couple of other things that just completely snuck out that no one knew anything about over the past, you know, year or two. But since we see everything either legitimately or not so far in advance,
there's no at store surprises, you mean?
Yeah, unless
very
it's either,
few that is.
Yeah, unless it's either like Power of the Primes hitting early, but we kind of knew from past experiences the next line sometimes will hit sporadically before Christmas in that big Christmas push. So we knew that was kind of a possible thing, but no, the only surprise basically left is it actually out or not, and maybe finding something you weren't expecting. You know, a couple of years ago, I stopped by my local Walmart after Christmas, and I didn't buy it, but you know what was on the shelf? A Universe One Snarl.
Wow.
I don't know where it came from.
Was sitting underneath a shelf in the back of the store.
I I scanned it, and it was 1496.
So. Yeah, one time I walked into a Boscov's. Does anyone remember Boscov's?
No, afraid not.
I think I've been in one time.
It's like a Sears. It's like a smaller version of Sears or JCPenney. Or I walk into a Boscov's, and this is maybe around Transmetals in the Beast Wars era, and I see the G2 Inferno coloring book on the stand, and it didn't scan. I'm like, well, all the other ones are $2. So they're like, yeah, $2. Put it in.
Yep.
Sweet. So, but for those of us who have been to a BotCon or a TFCon, when we see those product panels, that's what the thrill of the hunt has become. You know, when you, that thrill of discovery has become not finding a blaster on a toy shelf as a kid and not knowing that you had a blaster in the works, but going to those conventions and seeing that product a couple of months to a year before they even come out. That's the thrill of discovery for us now. Little kids who may not know about upcoming products, you know, maybe 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds even, they still have that moment of discovery of going, wow, there's an RID Soundwave. I was hoping they'd make him. And there he is, you know, as adults, not necessarily as adults, but as collectors whose culture is embedded within the internet itself, we have lost that moment of discovery, and it has transcended to those product preview panels at conventions.
The only way we can be surprised anymore is simply not go online. And I don't think that's really an option for a lot of us.
Or not stay on the pulse with it. I actually know a few collectors. They are huge fans of Transformers. They buy Transformers regularly. But they don't go online looking for news and stuff. They're on Facebook, but... I'll post a picture of something that just came out. And the most recent time this happened was I believe it was Titan Returns Twin Twist. I had posted a picture of it, and he's like, holy crap, when did they come out with Twin Twist? He didn't even know it was coming. You know, I almost envy him. He makes a conscious choice. He just doesn't go searching for that news. You know,
yeah, but well, then isn't he missing out on?
He's missing out on a lot of stuff, but at the same time, he's still maintaining that level of wonder and level of surprise that we all used to love. And remember, we all were out there at that one time back in the 80s. You know, we didn't know unless we saw it in a catalog or just happened to walk into the store. We didn't know it was coming. You know,
well. Yeah. And Rick, my best friend is like that. Is he got married and bought a house last year, and so he doesn't do it. He doesn't do a lot of traveling because he's just got all that going on right now. But he's a fan, but he's not part of the fandom, which sounds like your friend is too, Duran. It's just
he actively collects and everything.
No. Well, my friend does too, but he doesn't go to the websites. He doesn't go to the Facebook groups. He doesn't.
Exactly. He does. This guy here doesn't either.
Out what's coming out for me most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
So I've
actually got a Facebook Messenger chat where he messages me sometimes just out of the blue. So what's new coming out? What should I be looking for right now?
Where do you start?
Yeah, and I ask him, well, what's the most recent thing you picked up, or would you be interested in these things? And he's like, oh, cool. He got pictures of it, and I'll have to go find a picture of it. Yeah, I'm not going to say his name, but he's a very active person. He runs a pro wrestling organization. He is a referee, umpire. Type person, you know, so he's always on the road, always doing something. So he's not always, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of time to sit there and just surf the message boards looking to see what's coming out. And I kind of envy that in that he keeps himself where we used to be, you know, some 20 years ago, but is just as excited and just as happy whenever the new toys comes out and he goes and buys them, you know. But, you know, I want to, before we talk about this too much, I want to go to Lunar Fury's topic. You know, Rick mentioned something before, how, you know, we know sometimes years in advance, you know, months in advance when something comes out. And sometimes we make things happen in our collection so that we can make another toy happen. And I'll use a case in point. I sold my BotCon 2016 set, my Predacus set, and turned around and sent that money straight to Capture Prey and got Terminus Giganticus. Because to me, that right there was... I wanted Terminus Giganticus more than that BotCon set. I saw more value in it to myself, and I made something in my collection go away, but I replaced it with something that I valued more.
That was a smooth transition.
Definitely.
So I know a guy, he's a jerk, and I don't like him, but I know this guy. It's not me. He throws himself into collecting certain things. He's like, I'm going to get every Action Master there is. And he'll go out and spend all this money and pay even higher prices than you should for certain pieces. And he'll have all the Action Masters. And then once he's done collecting them, sells them, moves on to the next thing. I'm going to get every G1 comic book, pays an exorbitant amount of money, sells them cheap. Moves on to the next thing. Every G1 triple changer sells them cheap, moves on to the next thing. That is what I call a habitual collector. Person who doesn't know what to collect.
You can't knock him for it, really, though, because he's getting his enjoyment out of it, or at least you would think he would be.
I think so, but, you know, take stand. You know, for me, it's crazy when I go and I like, oh, I paid $200 for my sealed Star Saber, and I look at the prices that things are selling for now. I'm like, wow, that's insane. But I've never purged. The closest I've come to purging, the closest I've come to purging is. Sometimes I would have triples of figures, and 1 year I collected up all my triples that weren't variants, and I went to conventions and I sold them all. And that's the closest I've ever come to purging. I've never had the desire to purge. I just, you know what? I'm done collecting RID. I got a few figures. That's all I need. Great. I'm done. I don't need to get rid of them.
Yeah, and I just don't collect the
rest of the line.
You know, and I think there are different types of collectors, and we've actually had episodes where we've talked about the different types of collector, you know. But, you know, and I used to be just like you, Rick. You know, I'd get, you know, from Beast Machine, or I'm sorry, Fox Kids Repaint Beast Wars, all the way up through, I think, Universe 1.0 or 2.0. I had everything loose and sealed, you know, including store exclusives, online exclusives. You know, I just bought it all, and I had like the bulk of G1, and it just got, I didn't have the room for it. And now I look around the room that I'm in now, and I don't have the room to buy tons and tons of figures. If I get a lot of figures, or if I get another huge figure, which, you know, I know I've got something that's pre-ordered. Oh, Nero Rex. I'm going to need to find a place to put Nero Rex whenever I get it. Right now, I just don't have room for it.
So for you, it's about the space.
It's about the space, what I want more, and also in the instance of the Terminus Giganticus, you know, I looked at what I had, the value in what I had, and I determined what I had value and what I of value and what I wanted more. And I wanted Terminus Giganticus more. He fit my collection more than Predacus.
All right, let's do a quick exercise. I want you to look at your collection right now. Yes. And from everything that you have, what's the first thing that comes to your mind to get rid of?
The first thing that comes to my mind to get rid of. Wow. Right off the top of my head, probably my Year of the Goat Soundwave.
Okay. Here, I happen to have mine. I said I don't purge, but if I had to get rid of something, it would be this book. Yeah. It's $29.99 on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
See what I did there? It's a plug. But you know what, Jim? You look like someone who picks up little pieces of each line here and there. Correct me if I'm wrong. To me, you don't strike me as someone who collects. I got to have all of Prime.
He's not a completionist.
Or all of Beast Wars.
Well,
You look like to me like you're more focused.
It depends. I mean, I have my core part of my collection that are my figures that I had as a child, and then any upgraded, you know, classics versions of those characters. But aside from that, due to myself having to purge various times over the past several years, it's not a disorder, I swear.
But what I was trying to get at was the Creo.
Right, which I had purged about 2 years ago, I think it was now, the entire Creo collection that I'd had.
But you were passionate.
That was really due to lack of space.
Okay, but you were passionate about collecting that whole line. So, so here's the question. You say because of lack of space, did you have to get rid of all of them? Why not just keep some that fit and get rid of other ones? Why did you make a decision to axe the whole line?
Well, I think the main drive wasn't so much to get the sets and to put them together so much as it was to get these figures and any variants or any of that, and to add them to the wiki that I was helping to put together at the time. But Creo specific, it got to the point where the line was just on life support and wasn't really going anywhere. So I felt, you know, it was a good time to go ahead and just get out of it and move on to bigger and better things.
Well, that brings on a very good point. And I instantly thought about alternators. And when alternators started becoming harder to get and was fading out, a lot of people purged their entire alternators line. I think maybe Don and I are the only two guys that held on to their alternators.
Yeah, it's just
I've still got some boxes for a couple. Alternators Nemesis Prime box, anybody?
I have an alternator, Mirage.
Well, if you're going to keep one, that's a bad one to keep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But, you know, as I've said in the past, I've never purged, and that's probably a bad thing.
Don, it would scare me if you purged what you could buy. I honestly fear what you could potentially buy purged.
I could probably have a nice boat.
I'm talking about toys.
Asian bride, maybe even a Russian bride.
I'm talking about toys.
Rolls Royce.
You could buy everything that you ever wanted, Don, if you purge stuff that you just don't care about, don't look at anymore, and then say, hey, Jim, what do you want? You'd have enough money to do that.
Yeah, as I said in the past, having put so much effort into everything and enjoyed the thrill of the hunt and finding these things and using the Dononomics to not have as much invested, because I mean it's just the fact that I can have some nicer things, and by making it try to balance out, it's not as much money as it could have been invested. But it's also the fact that I just don't want to get rid of it, but I need to. I haven't done what you. I wish I could. Like I said, I've said this several times. I want to do what you've done, Duran. I just can't do it, and I want to.
And we've actually talked about that on previous shows. You know, it's like
exactly
you've got to make a conscious decision and a conscious choice, and sometimes it's really really hard. I have departed with figures that I had a lot of trouble parting with. You know, in case in point, Generations Metroplex. I did not want to sell that toy back earlier this year. But I had been out of work for 2.5 months. I needed to pay bills. That toy was worth some money. And I begrudgingly sold it. You know, it was like have money to pay my bills or have this toy sitting in a shelf looking pretty. And I made that conscious choice to sell that toy. And lo and behold, thank you, Takara, they announce a reissue of that toy coming early next year, so I've got a pre-order in for it so I can replace it. That's another giant that I've got to find room for. So,
are there any differences in that, by the way?
Paint apps, basically. Oh. It's going to have a lot of paint apps instead of stickers. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, there is going to be times that you really question yourself whether or not you want to sell something. And I did, like the BotCon Predicus set, it has some sentimental value to me. It was the last BotCon. It was the last BotCon I attended. And it was a BotCon near home. You know, it was within 30 minutes of where I live. And it was a really, really cool set. It's probably one of the most cohesive sets, in my opinion, that FunPub ever put out, simply because they combined. However, I weighed with that. It was a Beast character. I really don't collect Beast characters anymore. It doesn't have a place in my collection. So I weighed. It was a conscious thought as a thought process to weigh what I like about it, why I have that figure, what I want more, and that's what made me come to the choice to sell it. I don't regret it now. I mean, I've got an amazing, phenomenal, gigantic toy here to replace it in my collection, and I still to this day I look up at Terminus here and I'm like, that used to be my Predicus set, essentially, and I don't miss it. And yeah, Tekatron says my Transistor and Arcos are happy with their new friends in his display case. And I'll be honest with you, Transistor was another one that I had a hard time parting with. I really love that toy. Arcos, not so much. It was a cool toy, but Transistor, which is KFC's blaster, I loved that toy. And ultimately, what made me decide to part with it was the lack of really good tapes. The robot tapes were good, but Steeljaw and everything is eh. but I love that toy. You know, it's a conscious choice you got to stop and think of. You know, you don't want to go into it and say, I don't know what I want to sell. I'm not sure if I want to sell. You got to be sure you want to sell before you go in there and start purging. Bottom line. Rick, you look like you're getting ready to say something.
I was thinking about my family and how many guys that I know that they got married and they sold their collection. Carl Hartman, great guy, sold his collection so he could pay for his wedding. I commend him. I couldn't bring myself to do that. Or how many guys say, hey, we're having a kid, time to sell my collection.
Getting married.
You know, I'm sitting here looking at, you know, this isn't even 1% of what I have. And I'm here working on the basement, trying to make this into my display room. And I'm thinking, boy, what's going to happen to this when I die? You know, are my girls going to want to keep this? Is my wife going to want to keep this? How is she going to sell it? Ultimately, it won't matter to me. I'll be dead, and I won't have that emotional reaction of, oh, my goodbye Megatron's going to this guy, and my gig multi-force box set Bruticus is going to this guy, and my Generations toys are going over here. I've never really been able, except for one time in my life, to sell something, and I regret selling it. And I just can't bring myself to it. I don't know.
And some people are
what
like
it is,
that.
But
yeah.
You know, I sold one thing in my life, and I regret doing it. It was a sealed Grand Max, and I have not replaced it since.
What about G2 Megatron or Safety Megatron?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. I don't know what you're talking about.
Plug one of our classic TFYLP episodes where we actually touched on that topic in Throw the Tail.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 150, was it?
Believe so, where we talked about
something about that.
What happens to my toys when I die.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know, there was a time, the fact that you even know what episode number, or if you're just pulling it out of your ass, I don't know, Jim.
I was guessing. It was a ballpark. But, it was around the time I first joined the cast.
But you know what? Like,
Google food.
Shit, I used to know, like, where every G.I. Joe character was born. And I used to know, like, the UPC number off the back of, like, the first 1984 Transformers. Like, useless knowledge. I forgot
world's
so many Minicon names.
Largest source of totally useless information.
Yeah. I mean, I've probably forgotten more Minicon names than I've told my kids I love them.
Well, it's like the MicroMasters. As much of a G1 fan that I am, and this is, you know, if you want to have a fun fact about Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf, I could not, if you could put up MicroMasters, I could, if you don't show me the names, I could not tell you what half of them are. I know the little orange truck, and that was Powertrain. Outside of that, I probably couldn't tell you the rest in that set, you know. It's just so hard for me to remember the name of every MicroMaster. I've got one MicroMaster. I don't know how I got it. I think Orson gave it to me in my collection. I didn't even know what its name was up until about 2 months ago. I happened to find a sealed set.
You know what's good for that?
Like, I have that one. I know.
You know what's good for that? There's this book available. $29.99, and I'll tell you all the names of all those G1 guys.
Yeah. Let's see here.
So I think this is going to boil down to being a person by person basis on. You're just going to have to balance, like you did, Doran. What is more important? Is this more important than this? And you just going to have to make the judgment call. And the hardest part is living with yourself. And saying, I'm not going to have this anymore, but is this more important in my collection? But, you know, it's like he said, you're not just swapping out a figure for a better version. You're swapping out probably for something completely unrelated.
Yeah. And by the way, it was episode 153, what happens to our Transformers or toys when we die.
I was looking for it.
Yeah. It's called a search function on TFYLP.com. Lunar Fury, there is not a link yet on the TFYLP website, but there is on the Facebook group at the time. And I will also share it on Twitter as well. But there will be one on the website soon. But going back to our topic, the idea of selling things and getting in the mindset of selling things to basically reinvigorate your collection or reimagine your collection or redirect your collection. It's not for everybody, but going back to what we were talking about earlier in the show, by knowing what we got coming out now, and it's not a big surprise anymore, You know, we know Trypticon was coming. We know, you know, we now know Predaking, Titan Predaking is coming. We've seen a wing for it. So we can start planning to have that in our collection. You know, we know that it's a wing and a prayer. We know that it's probably going to be in the $150 price range. You know,
something else we know is that Titan Returns Ramhorn is apparently supposed to be showing up at Aldi grocery stores starting this next week.
Not all the, their it's stocking all stuff. The A L D I.
What did I say?
Well, some people who are listening may have heard it as all the
A L D I.
Aldi.
Aldi. Aldi.
Aldi.
Aldi. but you know, we can actually fund our collection with our collections. And a large part, that's what
it's
I do.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yes.
I'll get sad and I'll eat. I'll eat because I'm sad.
You guys have any closing thoughts on this subject?
Well, as far as the hunting goes, it's never going to be like it was. So we're going to have to balance out between where do you live, the stores you have to choose from, versus the ease of click, ship, and be done. So it's sad, but it's the way it is. It's just, I mean, because the stores are not, with the distribution problems that we've had and that we've seen, it's going to wind up being more frustrating, especially when more product comes out, more product lines are down. If you diversify into other collecting things, if you collect Marvel Legends, you've got that whole set of problems there. When I was collecting DC Universe Classics, oh my God, there's very few waves I completed to get to build a figure, because hunting for a complete wave was practically impossible. I think the only wave I found was the exclusive Apache Chief wave. That's the only one that I had any luck finding. And that's
Chuck.
Yep. So yeah, it's fine. If it gets to the point where it's too frustrating, either searching online or going out, before you drop the hobby, step back and reevaluate and then go from
Wake
there.
Wake up, Don.
Sorry. It's a very long day at work.
Hey, Don, do you remember back in the day when you'd buy something off eBay and then you'd take like a day or 2 days to buy a money order, and then you mail it out, and then they'd get the money order, and then it'd be like another week before you got the toy?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember selling and taking personal checks with a 10-day hold to clear.
Yeah, I remember sending cash sometimes to people in the mail.
I never did that, but yeah, it's just ain't ever going to be the same.
Yeah, the world, it be changing. Well, I think that'll do it for this particular topic. I do want to have a bit of a programming note coming up. Some things for everybody to listen for and watch for. Next week will be our final episode of 2017. It will be our holiday episode. We'll be talking about our favorite and top toy picks of 2017. We'll be talking about our favorite Christmas memories revolving around Transformers. And you know, who knows what else we'll have Christmas related. Who knows? There might be a few people have some gifts or something to open. So
we might even break out in song. No, we're not.
Well, if we do, it'll be Dawn.
Don't tempt me.
Yeah.
I was in Glee Club.
Rocks that come alive. Rock lords.
I was in Glee Club. I sang higher than the girls.
So oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Powerful living rocks.
Crashing through the skies.
Well, I mean, if you're going to see anything G.I. Joe, that's the best thing you could probably see.
I think that's the
Cobra. Cobra.
A very Hasbro Christmas.
Yeah, have a very Hasbro Christmas. So next week will be our holiday episode. And then after that, we'll be taking a few weeks off to enjoy travel time. Yeah, TFYLP, the musical. That's something that would never sell.
Oh my gosh. It worked well for Buffy, the Vampire Slayer. We need an all musical episode where all we do is talk and sing, but do it in song.
So basically, like, call it Carnage in C minor.
No, this will be good.
So Rick will be oversized.
Well, Supergirl too.
Rick will be oversized and he'll be flying along hand in hand with Jim.
Or he'll land on Jim. You know, there's a whole broadside Devastator thing going on. Yeah.
Well, he was an aircraft carrier.
And then Duron can be standing beside Duron. And
yeah.
And Jim Duron will have a Decepticon symbol, even though he's an Autobot. And
yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but these are some pretty good drugs, you know?
Wow, man. next week will be our final episode of 2017. And then look for us again on January 8th. It will be a special night. We'll be broadcasting live on Monday night, January 8th, 2018. We will be having very special guest, the creator and executive producer of the upcoming Netflix series, The Toys That Made Us. We'll be having Brian Volk Weiss, who is the creator and executive producer of that Netflix series. He will be on our show to talk about it. It goes live on Netflix, I believe, December 22nd. So I'm sure a lot of people will binge watch it. There is a Transformers episode. Some friends of our podcast have been interviewed for it and some other things. So be sure to check that Netflix series out and give it some support. And then after you watch the Netflix series, or if you're still watching it whenever we come back for the new year, check out the TFYLP episode with Brian Volk Weiss of The Toys That Made Us. It'll be January 8th, be at 8 p.m., and look forward to seeing everybody there. Should be a really fun episode. Also have a special guest cast member that will be joining us that episode in that episode. So look forward to that. I think that's the week after that. We should be returning to our normal broadcasting schedule on Saturdays at 8 p.m. But just to accommodate our guest and his scheduling, we had to go on Monday. So look for us on January 8th. Circle that on your calendar at 8 p.m., and we'll be right here on YouTube. You guys have any closing thoughts?
Sounds great.
Is anyone out there in the TipFlip universe interested in us doing a Star Wars episode? Because
Star Wars?
The Last Jedi is coming out, and damn it, I need to talk about it.
Well, we may have an After Hours. We might do an After Hours, record it or something other, talk about it.
I haven't seen anything since the prequels, and technically I saw Clone Wars in the theater. So
I'm the Andy Tartakovsky version or the other version?
That's the CGI version.
Yeah, so version.
Yeah, so
I like the Dexter.
I'll sit that one out because I'm not Star Warsing right now.
All right, guys. I think that will be a wrap on this episode. I want to thank everybody who tuned in live and interacted with us in the live chat. Love to see you guys. And we've had a lot of fun tonight. And it's actually feels great to be live once again. I was very, very frustrated that we could not go live before. But here we are back and in living color. In living color.
You can do what you want to do.
So does that make me Fire Marshal Bill?
No, you're homie.
Let me tell you something.
Homie, don't play that.
I want Fire Marshal Bill. Darn it.
Well, we'll see you next week on TFYLP, and then after that will be the holiday break. Happy holidays, everyone, and we will see you next time on Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. Good night, everybody.
Take care, everybody.
Get stitches.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.